update us up here?
Do you guys have a colored copy?
It's not the best copy, but.
Yep. I'm having a hard time getting the color printer to print, so. How do I make this go away? Nah, close enough. The first condition index is the reliance on government transfers. So that's the percentage of our operating revenue that is transferred to us from the province. So the percentage of our revenue that is not property taxes, tax rated. We're yellow in that category, so we've met the threshold, though we're slightly different from the rural municipal average. And again, they compare us to the rural municipal average because we don't really fit in any other category well. You can't really compare us as a regional municipality to HRM and CBRM. I mean, obviously they're much too large. And you can't compare us to a town because we have all that additional geographic area and so much, you know, larger where we're a county and a town combined. So the easiest in the realm of this condition index is to compare us to rural municipalities. So that's where we're compared there. The yellow means, though we haven't met the rural average, we have met the threshold. So yellow is just as good as green, really, as far as I'm concerned, because that comparison's just a little bit off for us. So uncollected taxes, 3-year change in tax base, and the commercial property assessment. Those were our three reds last year, and the year before that, and the year before that. The 3-year change in tax base, I mean, that's our uniform assessment over a 3-year period divided by the first of those 3 years. So there's a threshold that they look at as far as comparative CPIs for that increase in tax base. We hadn't met that according to the threshold this year. It was, well, 15-16, remember this is, not 16-17. They're comparing it to a 3.9. That's a moving number. That number changes each year, and again, it's according to prior year's CPIs. Commercial property assessment, it's a percentage of our total assessment value that we use to calculate our tax rate. And they consider that your commercial property assessment should be above 10% of the assessment value base that you have to calculate your tax rate. We're slightly under that again this year. We were over that threshold for 2 years when they first started these, 11-12, 12-13, and then Resolute Forest Products closed and it dramatically changed our commercial assessment base. And then, of course, our uncollected taxes. We did notice, we were aware, and it was, you know, kind of a red flag for us when they started the online publication of these financial condition indexes. So we started working. We were 15.1, 15.2% the last couple of years. So 14.1 is an improvement. We've been doing the best we can. I mean, we understand the economy. And we understand that there are people who are, you know, in a difficult situation with Bowar closing. And so we are making lenient payment arrangements. We negotiate as best we can, trying to stay within the realm of, you know, kind of treating everything equal, keeping everything on an even keel. And so with the payment arrangements, we've we've been making over the last few years. We've been working on this for very strongly and steadily for 3 years. And, you know, just prior to that was when we started to kind of put some different policies in place and some procedures in place so that there's three or four of my finance department staff that have particular roles. So we make sure that we follow up with all of our payment arrangements, and we follow up with everyone to see how they're doing. And again, we're rather lenient on the payment arrangements that we do make. So anyway, there is an improvement, right? The 14.1 over the last year's 15.2. And then the reliance on a single business below 10%, so we did meet that threshold. A lot of people would have thought that that was Resolute Forest Products or Bow Water, but it's actually not. In our case, it is Nova Scotia Power assessment value property in our area. So we're able to at least maintain that threshold on that. So then under budget dimension, I don't know if I can get all of these on. Oh, I can. The residential tax effort, that's based on number of dwelling units. So your residential property taxes divided by your dwelling units, divided by the median income per household. And we're meeting this threshold. Obviously, the yellow just means that we're not meeting the rural average. That will change next year because all of those numbers within that calculation are based on StatsCan, which moves every 5 years. So I would anticipate the median income for sure, and possibly dwelling units as well, will change next year because we've hit the 5 year mark on that. But hopefully we remain within. But that's a 2011 stat, so it's not as relevant as some of the other factors are in these calculations. And then, of course, we have our next four categories are greens. Deficits in the last 5 years, it's kind of self-explanatory. We've not had any. Budget expenditures accuracy, so plus or minus 5%, where you end your year based on what you were budgeting for that year. So we're well within that. Liquidity ratio, again, that's our short-term, long-term assets, our ability to pay our short-term liabilities within the year, and operating reserves, that's saving for a rainy day. So our ability to contribute to our operating reserves and how those factor against our current year's operating expenditures. So because we're above the 10%, we're well above the 10%, it means that we are maintaining healthy reserves, and we are able to, according to what they consider to be a threshold, we're able to pay our operating expenditures in a reasonable amount of time. Yes, Jeff.
Councilor Fancy?
Well, with our operating reserves being so high, it's because of things we're doing, which a lot of municipalities aren't doing, like having landfill and such. You have to have
landfill
money.
Is the biggest one,
so
that's
you have
right.
To have money set aside to, you can't have the 10%, you've got to head up to the 50% to be able to get the monies where you want to be.
Yeah, we're just, we've been once bitten, twice shy. So knowing what happened to our operating revenues when Bow Water closed, you know, that was a dramatic loss all in 1 year. So we kind of tend to plan for the future probably a little bit better than some other municipalities might. We want to be sure that in the case of an emergency, you know, that what if, that we're covered and we're stable and we don't have to borrow, you know, that kind of thing. So, and like I said, we know this happens because we lost Bow Water, you know, kind of unexpectedly, right? So yeah, we plan for the future, maybe a little bit better than some others might. Or at least better than the municipality or the Union of Nova Scotia Municipalities feels maybe
right.
Necessary.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
The revenue from the landfill is created through its own sources, not from taxations.
That's right.
So
we remove that reconciliation mm-hmm. from our operating revenues, and that is what contributes to that operating reserve. So it looks favorably on us, but we're not actually and contributing in excess to those operating reserves, we're not affecting the tax rate when we do that.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, we're not banking a whole bunch of extra property tax revenue, no, that's right. Revenue from own sources is what's contributing to our operating reserves. Very good point, thank you. So, debt and capital dimensions, our debt service ratio, obviously, that's our ability to repay our principal and interest. Outstanding debt, yeah, that's as a percentage of our operating revenue, so again, well below the required threshold. Undepreciated assets, so that's the historical cost of the assets, the useful life of the assets, as kind of a reflective number on operating revenue. Our 5-year capital purchase, again, that's our ability over time to reinvest in our capital assets. And our 5-year contribution to capital reserves, kind of the same thing. It's reflective of our ability to plan ahead and be ready for that reinvestment in capital when it's required. That's it for that.
Any questions or comments, councilors? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
This really gives us sort of a real picture of how we compare with other municipalities. I'm familiar with this indicator, just becoming educated on why we do this.
Yeah.
So it's very important to do that, to keep a hands-on.
And it was a joint effort a number of years ago, right? It was UNSM and AMA, and there were municipal representatives on the committee, and it was kind of in response to things that you need to look for, you know, things that you might need on hand at a glance for municipal planning purposes. And it gives you those triggers, or it gives you those areas to focus on where you may have overlooked them.
It can be a benefit to others.
Exactly. And then it gives you that comparative tool so that you can see how you're doing or your municipality is doing in relation to other municipalities, because we really didn't have. Although we provide them this information annually, right, through the FCIs and the SOEs, our statement of operations, our statement of estimates, and our financial information return, we provide this information we all have annually every year, but we really didn't have a comparative tool for everybody to kind of be able to look and equally compare the information. So this was a format to put all of that information in that they were retrieving from municipalities anyway, and to give you that comparative tool to just see how you rank and how you compare it to the others.
Councilor Mews?
If we run collected taxes, what would the figure be?
1.3 million. And that, when the percentage, when they show us that percentage at 14.1, the uncollected taxes, remember, is a combination of multiple years. So you can have 6 or 7 years, some of them in arrears, you know, payment arrangements, but it's a substantial balance past the current year that you're in, but the percentages of the current year's billings. So they take your balance of outstanding taxes, which can be multiples of years in arrears, and it's a percentage of the amount that you were able to bill out just in that current year. So if we were looking at it as what's outstanding for the current year's billings, which is a number that you wouldn't need, you know, necessarily for an allowance for accounts that you feel are not collectible, it was probably only about 400,000, maybe 500. It's these substantial amounts that have been accumulating for years, but I mean, like I said, there's payment arrangements, or we have tried to tax sale the property and there's been no interest in it, and so the balance sits and remains outstanding on our uncollected taxes.
Any other councilors? Councilor Fancy?
Yeah, the one thing on the indicator on the budget, as it mentions, it says residential tax effort. I heard you try to explain it, but it still wasn't.
I tried to put it in. Yeah, it's a really odd calculation, and I wasn't exactly sure what the relevance of it was, but it's the total amount of your residential property taxes divided by your number of dwelling units. So kind of a residential tax rate contribution by dwelling, divided by the median income, according to StatsCan, the median income of that dwelling. Does that make sense? So you have a home, you have an average or a median income for that home, and it's how much that average income is contributing towards your total amount collected in residential tax rate. Doesn't factor in the commercial or the resource, just the residential. So it's the amount that each income is contributing towards that residential property taxes revenue.
So that doesn't mean how much, it doesn't talk anything about unpaid taxes. It's saying how much, basically, so it, what it's really showing is either our tax rate is low or our income is low when our percentage is
low.
That's
right. Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see when the StatsCan numbers change, how that median income amount changes, because that median income for our county was prior to the Bow Water closure.
Mm-hmm.
So that residential tax effort, we may find out that it's contributing more towards our total property tax revenue after that StatsCan number changes than would be the preference. I'm sure it's going to look as though the commercial should maybe start picking up some more of that difference, but we'll see what that number comes out as.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Jennifer, you may or may not be able to answer this question, but at what point will we not have to reference the Bow Water closure loss? I mean, we're getting to a point.
I know, right?
What?
I know.
You know, it's like we're always using that reference as why these things are happening and circumstances happen.
Well,
but I mean, you get to a point where you have to start say, okay, let's start from here and go forward.
I'm not actually using it as a why for this year. I'm using it as the line in sand where we changed.
Okay.
Because we didn't have REDs in 11-12 and 12-13. And we've been trying to hold that tax rate as best we can since that, having to replace that $600,000 in commercial revenue that we lost. And so even though we have been replacing that, and we've done really well, I think, you know, holding the tax rate as best we can, it's kind of that line in the sand where we're still doing okay, even though we have those couple of REDs and the REDs that we didn't have prior to. I use it as a point where everything kind of tilted a bit. But it's not really hurting us right now.
Yeah
I think we're doing very well, and I think especially when you look at our capital section and the debt and capital section, we're doing very well considering. Right, we're very healthy, and our reserves are very healthy, and even compared to the other municipalities, the Greens as opposed to the others, we're still doing well, considering we had that loss and they didn't.
And there's been a lot of exchange in properties, and that's certainly reflected in our deed transfer money, which was way up there compared to your budget. But down the road, I think with the capping, once those new properties are sold, then the capping is removed. So we might make a little bit of a change in that coming up the next year. Because
and so remember, this is 15-16.
Right, okay. So
And we're about to end 16-17. But yes, so that huge deed transfer tax, so that huge indicator that we have sold a lot of properties, that a lot of properties have moved in the 16-17 year, will be reflected in the next set of FCIs.
Yeah.
But going forward, and when we get talking further into this year's budget, right, the 17-18 budget, originally based on the preliminary numbers I was getting from PVSC, I didn't think we were going to have any gain at all in our assessment base. We do have a slight gain, which we're going to be able to, you know, contribute back to holding or minimal increase right in the tax rate because of the cap being removed on those properties. And the reason I was hesitant before and why I thought those preliminary numbers weren't really going to give us that bump in assessment value was because the market values have dropped so much that the cap remains steadily increasing each year at CPI. But in the background, your market value amounts can be doing either or, and your cap remains the same. So on some of those properties, the market values had dropped back so much that releasing the cap actually made the assessment value for those properties lower, which to base that tax rate on.
So it's
luckily, it balanced itself out slightly, and we did have a bit of a bump.
Any other councillors? Thank you, Jennifer, for that presentation. We'll now move on to 11-2, Blue Cross Coverage. Deputy McLeod, would you want to take the lead?
Okay, I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the renewal of Blue Cross Coverage for monthly costs effective April the 1st, 2017, as follows. Single coverage, $139.88, and family coverage, $362.28.
A seconder? Councilor Kerwin? Jennifer, would you like to brief us on this?
So we are in the UNSM pool, so we have the benefit of that additional purchasing power, which results from there being 50 municipalities in this medical and dental. And we've had substantial increases presented to us in the past. Sometimes it's a bit negotiable, other times it's not. This year it was not. And we had shopped around in those other years and realized that we don't really have that purchasing power that we have, given that there's 50 municipalities in this plan. So. The reason the percentage looks like more of an increase this year is because they actually moved on the dental. Most years they don't move on the dental premium. The last time we had a dental premium increase was 2006. But we're fortunate that there's actually been no increase in these premiums 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. You haven't seen me in here looking for an approval for renewal since then. So it looks like a big jump, yes, but not as big, I don't think, as it probably could have been had we been looking at increases over those 6 years prior to.
Councillors have, okay, Councillor Fisk.
Jennifer, just one question. When was the last time there was an increase?
So the dental has an increase since 2006. And then we had a 3% increase in 2015 and a slight increase in 2016. So
really.
Yeah, we had, like I said, from 9 to 14,
yeah.
There was no increase in the premium. So yeah, I think we've been rather fortunate in that aspect.
Councilor Fancy?
I think maybe I'm a little naive because I know with our plan with emergency protective, it's only in the low 200s for families. I think
really?
Like, and I'm saying this 362, it's like wow, I would still like us to see, yes, I understand, to go out and look at some other prices.
Yeah, and like I said, we've done that in the past.
Yeah, in the past, I mean, but
we didn't, and we didn't really have any kind of bargaining power
right.
with the limited number of people we have in the plan
exactly.
to go off on our own. We have tremendous more purchasing power
right.
being in with these other 49 municipalities.
Right.
And perhaps there's a difference in the background of the plan. We might be something we want to compare as to the benefits that are
our
included in this.
Are better.
You think?
Oh, I know, because we looked at them before. I'm president of it, so I've looked at them both. But it seems high to me. I'd like to see us, that's just me personally. I know you have more bargaining power and everything else, but
yeah.
it doesn't take anything to look at some of it.
Any other councillors? Councillor Kelly?
I just wanted to ask the question, that's per person, single coverage is per person, family per family, whatever. You know, so how many employees do we have here at the Region of Queens?
There's probably, if we're including hourly, we're probably close to 100 maybe 105. They're not all on Blue Cross. Blue Cross is optional, remember.
Okay.
So if you're on a plan, another plan, your spouse is on a plan, you don't, you're not on ours. I'm gonna say there's probably 26 or 28 of us on this plan.
28 on the plan, okay. So what is the, what is the effect on our budget? What is the total amount?
Didn't do that math.
Okay.
26 people times probably an average of $30 a month.
I don't understand the $30 a month. I mean, it's not.
328 went, the 362 was from 328, and the 139 was from 126. So the single coverage jumped $13. And the family coverage jumped $34.
So you're saying 28 employees over an average of, I don't know, $25 a month, that's the increase in the, this budget line, this is a line item on our budget to.
And it's only half of that because the Region of Queens pays half and the employee
right.
pays half.
Right, okay. So the increase in the line item, the budget is approximately?
It's probably about $3,500, $3,600 a year.
Okay.
Any other counselors? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed? Six in favor, one opposed. Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer. We'll now move on to 12.0, Recreation and Community Facilities. And under that, we have 12.1, Business Center, Queens Place and Mirror Center. Trial. Chris, would you like to take the lead on this?
Recommendation. It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a trial business incentive to members of the South Shore Chamber of Commerce and North Queens Board of Trade as follows. One booking of a half community room space free of charge for up to 3 hours once per year.
Seconder to that motion? Nancy? Steve Burns, would you like to update us on this?
Sure. So a request came to staff on behalf of South Queens Chamber of Commerce for a business incentive for their members. And as staff discussed, it was decided that perhaps a free room rental usage incentive of 3 hours for a half room one time per year would be something that business could leverage. Of course, we were looking for additional exposure for the facility, it being an incentive for business and a potential revenue gainer going down the road for us to gain additional rentals. In addition, the fact that it was South Queens Chamber of Commerce led us to also include the North Queens Board of Trade made sense. So we reached out to each organization, and there's approximately 110 to 120 paid registered businesses and paid individuals that are members of those organizations that can take advantage of this free trial usage for a year. The idea behind it is for seminar and a meet or soft items like seminars and meetings. In addition, if a business was going to take advantage of their 3 hours, certainly opens an opportunity for the facility to gain a day rental out of it, so that would be positive. But again, it's about exposure and usage and including the whole region business landscape.
Any councilors have questions or comments? Councilor Kelly?
How come only half the room?
That would be in line with what the policy number 79, not-for-profit policy, presently is as a guideline, half room. So it was felt that the half room would be a good incentive to start off with.
So what if they wanted to use the whole room? Would they have to pay for the other half then?
They would get their 3 hours of half room as part of a, we'll call it a discount towards the full room usage.
The whole room.
So it's win-win for both the facility and business.
Yeah, I don't understand this, the line here, this can only benefit potential paid usage going forward. Is that what you said about the opportunity to have more businesses using this space?
It's an opportunity for the facility to gain revenues going forward.
So there's how much is the 250 hours of paid usage worth?
Approximately $8,000 to $10,000.
Any other counselor have a question or comment? Counselor Muse?
How many of this group use it now, Steve?
That I do not have that number.
5, 10, like any use them?
Low. Low, Kevin. I don't have the number.
Counselor Frelick?
So basically what this is for anybody who wants to join the Chamber of Commerce, it's one of the benefits that the Chamber is offering.
Yeah.
So right now you may not have any users.
Potentially, yes.
But as a new member of the Chamber coming in, this is one of the options that would be in the list of all the benefits. Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So as we finalize with South Queens Chamber of Commerce and North Queens Board of Trade,
so you may never
they'll offer it as an incentive.
You may never have 120 people
no,
using it, but
potential.
It's certainly a potential for
increased
members.
Usage and access, and potential rental down the road.
Which is a win-win for the Chamber.
For both.
And, yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I think it's a good idea, as we discussed it at the advisory meeting.
Yes.
And it also, it's not costing us anything.
No.
Other than good exposure, being involved, partnering with the community, a business organization, because you want to attract more business. I mean, if a business comes in there and uses that for a small 3-hour seminar for whatever purpose, and then they see the potential of the other assets of the renting the ice for their staff, parties, those
yep.
sorts of things. It just provides better exposure and at not very little cost.
Absolutely. Win-win, as Brian
yeah.
said.
Yeah.
Any other counselors? Are we ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much.
Just a reminder, the Privateers play this Sunday night.
Yes.
Puck drop 7:30.
Yes.
We're up 2 games to none.
Yes.
And the Hurricanes are start up provincials, I believe, Thursday up in Berwick. So, and the Gary Wenzel March Break Tournament. There's some action on ice starting tomorrow.
Yep.
So, lots going on.
And
thank you.
If
thank
I could
you,
just
Steve.
Make, I went to the Chamber of Commerce sponsored free skate last night. There were about 55 people there, families. It was awesome.
Mm,
it was from 6:30 to 7:30, a little different time
yep.
than the regular public skates, but it was well attended.
Thank you. We'll now move on to 12.2, physical activity community survey, and Diana Johnson, physical activity coordinator, will give us an update.
So further to what is in your package, in the information report, just to give you a bit of reminder, this survey was conducted in November of 2016. 200 residents throughout the region were polled by telephone. They made thousands of calls, and that's the number they settled on. I think a lot of calls were not answered and ignored, and in this day and age, landlines are sometimes hard to come by. What I'm gonna do is just go over my summation of the survey, because it is fairly lengthy, and then I'll take some questions. The survey was conducted by Nova Insights, which is a full-service market and research evidence-based consulting firm, so a very professional firm conducted the survey. The results, walking was the top most common current activity, meaning that 85% of the people polled are participating in walking. Followed by household tasks at 80%, home exercise at 36%. There's little difference in gender under the walking headline. More of the population are over 40 that enjoy walking. The greatest portion of citizens wish they could walk more, with 48%, followed by swimming at 28%, biking at 13%. The top choice for more frequent participation amongst all age groups is walking. A very strong majority wish they could walk or bike more for active transportation. There are some barriers that were highlighted in the survey that prevent that, which is the connectivity of our trails, the quality of our roads, sidewalks and footpaths, lighting, and the lack of route maps. Citizens overwhelmingly prefer outdoor, natural and accessible spaces for physical activity. Places that citizens do not have reasonable access to are indoor pools, roadsides, natural waterways and trails. Barriers and challenges overall that vary amongst the ages are social barriers. People don't like doing things alone. They want to be social and they want people to do their physical activities with them. Infrastructure, like roads and sidewalks, was an issue. Health was an issue. And that is something I would like to dig a little deeper on to find out if it's chronic health or just injury, or what is what are the health issues preventing people from participating. Time was an issue. Obviously, we know that that's valuable. Cost was an issue at 35%. And under the opportunities, what people may want to see in the future are more family-friendly drop-in non-competitive activities. Social influences are high for 18 to 39-year-olds. Competitive sports are less of a draw for all. Social connections would likely encourage people to participate more. More champions for encouragement, so more people leading and encouraging activities would motivate others to join. And then there's female-only opportunities were also highlighted in some of the results. Typically, my conclusions for this are that people want to see non-competitive, outdoor-oriented, unstructured activities. And that's kind of how I read the results. I hope everybody had a chance to look at them as well. If there's a question that I can answer, I will. I will mention that the survey was fairly equal in its disbursement of calls. I think about 60% were at the 354 and 356 area code, and the rest of them were the other ones that exist within the region of Queens.
Any questions, Councillor Fancy?
When I look at the demographics and I see the First Nations, I don't fully understand. It says no 90%, 10, yes 10%. What does that mean?
Which page are you on?
On your demographics.
Slide. It says in the bottom.
Second page.
Slide 5.
Okay. Slide 6.
So this result is the reports are based on weighted distribution by age and gender that closely reflect the census. So I would say that during their phone calls, they probably didn't reach a lot of the First Nation demographics. So
okay.
It looks high, but maybe there was only two. So that would be maybe, I'm gathered. That's the only way I can figure it out. There wasn't a high percentage of those, that demographic represented in the survey.
Okay, I just didn't know if they didn't want to be involved or if they couldn't get reached. Or
I don't have that answer.
What does that 90% mean to me?
I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, Councilor Fisk?
Just a quick question. I see 48% versus 28% for the pool walking at 48.
Yep.
Now, the reason I ask that is there was also a survey done prior to this one, was there not?
There was.
And why was the pool high at that point?
You're talking about the pool survey specifically?
Yeah.
I can't answer that question, only that these two surveys were done differently. The swimming pool survey was done only online or by paper. This was a professional service doing a phone survey. Why the results differ, I cannot tell you.
Would it be because it was spread through the region of Queens more than the first one?
It's a possibility.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any other counselor? Councilor Crowley?
So Diana, what happens to this now? How is this kind of rolled in with our health and wellness plan that we have in place, or desire to have a plan in place? What's the next step with all
so
this?
The results of this survey fall within the strategy that we had developed about 5 years ago, which also highlighted outdoor, unstructured, non-competitive forms of physical activity. So to me, it coincides with what our plans and intentions are, which would have to be, according to the survey, to develop and focus on our infrastructure, such as trails, cycling paths, infrastructure that allows people to enjoy outdoor physical activity, outdoor parks, and those things. So that's what I would say our focus needs to be, and that's how they coincide positively with where the direction is for the physical activity position. Does that answer your question?
Kind of, but you said that this was done 5 years ago.
This?
The strategic.
The strategy that was developed for physical activity in the region of Queens was done 5 or 6 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
I've reviewed it. Other than the development of QPEC, Queens Place, the variations are little, or the changes that I would make to that plan are very small.
Right.
Back then, our goals were still similar when we base it on guidelines.
5 years have passed by, and we still don't have complete trails that we can advertise to people to use.
Correct.
We have an empty park with nothing happening in it. So does this just go someplace, and then 5 years' time we look at it, or does it become a really active part of our strategic plan, and that's something that we refer to every time there's a decision we made at council level?
Okay, so that's a big question.
It is a big question.
So during the last 5 or 6 years, there was a very little recreation department here in the region.
Yes, I understand.
The physical activity coordinator position didn't exist any longer, and recreation probably wasn't the primary focus. Do I believe, as your physical activity coordinator, that this is the basis for how we move forward? Absolutely. And will it and should it be reflected in decisions? Sure. I think that answers your very large question.
Yeah, I'd like to clarify on the waterfront park. We can utilize the park more than we are. I think we need to strive to put more activities in that waterfront park. But we are using it at this point.
Privateer park?
Yes.
Well, that's certainly
When you say use, I'm not sure that really means anything. There's some activity happening there, but in a green space that is so beautiful and so centered in the middle of town, I don't see anyone playing volleyball, I don't see anyone playing soccer, I don't see any activity. We fight to get picnic tables there. So use and maximum use are two different things. So
I would
like to see maximum use.
We certainly can do more.
Yes, absolutely.
Stephanie, Member Cloud?
There's information in this that, you know, it's very useful to us, useful to the community, and it's also useful to other organizations. I'm thinking about the schools and the activity within the school system. They have their recess and they have that sort of thing, and then there's after school programs and the daycare. I mean, this is only dealing with adults. But I mean, there could be information sometime acquired or collected from the other age groups at some point.
A survey amongst school age children is maybe beneficial. Their objectives and insight into physical activity are much different than
mm-hmm.
the 18 plus category.
Mm-hmm.
And their statistics on physical activity are far different than adults. Although they are lacking in opportunities, their range of choosing and choice for physical activity differ very differently from adults. But it's something that could certainly be looked into. You'd have to look at it from the junior high up perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe South Queens was here,
yeah,
and they mentioned
they
all the things that they were interested in.
Do.
So I mean, you would get the same results just having them tell you, rather than asking specific questions that they may not fully understand,
mm-hmm.
so benefit in it, but maybe not, wouldn't reach the same level of that this did.
Well, maybe they become active with activities more so than self-generation.
Well,
you know,
their activity is so different, right?
Yeah.
A child's play or a teenager's play is so different from an adult's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the demographics are showing us that youth or children from grades primary to five are very active. It's when you hit the teenage years that you run into a whole gamut of different issues. And then again, it changes for adolescents and adults. So it's different, but similar. I don't know how to explain it another way.
I get the gist of it,
Any other counselors? Counselor Clancy?
Yes, Diane. We, again, it's just what you said, you know, a lot of times what we do is you start looking at things, what we need to do and how we need to do it, but we don't have a plan in place. And that's, I think when Jill was here giving her last presentation at the last meeting, we talked about plan, and that's the big word. It doesn't matter if we can afford this now or when, but have a plan that things are going to take place. Like the old trail there, the old railroad track, that how can we be able to get that up through. We talked about that for years, but we just seem to, you know, there's always other things that come in, but if we don't have a plan set in place, when we're going to do this, how are we going to clear this out and do things like that?
Absolutely. And you know, my position here is to have that plan over the next 5 years.
Right.
It will follow very much the strategy that's put in place. However, in the few months that I've been here, I have certainly identified opportunities that I think we need to act on sooner rather than later.
Yes.
Any other counselors? Thank you, Diana, for your presentation. Moving on, we have nothing under 13-0 planning. Have nothing under 14 reports. Under other 15, we have council sound system. Councilor Pellet, would you like to take the lead?
Yes. Recommendation, I so move to have a professional sound engineer or professional qualified individual complete or recommend upgrades to ensure sound quality of our sound system in council chambers.
Second it. Councilor Muniz. Any discussion? Councilor Pellet.
As you know, this has been an ongoing issue right up to as late as today. You know, when we started this process 4 years ago, we kind of deemed that this sound system wasn't really working. It's working for recording, but it's not helping anybody in the gallery, and it's hard to hear different angles. We've reconfigured the entire room. It's still not any better. So, but we've never had a professional come in and adjust it. And I think that it's time for that to happen, and if it's no longer working, then we would go to the next phase, which is something a little more convenient. I was at another council chambers in Yarmouth. They have individual mics at each person, and they have one at the presentation table, and everybody in the front would have one that's controlled by the mayor. They've had no complaints. In fact, it works very well. They are streaming live with the mics. So in 2017, I don't think that we should be continue on with an antiquated sound system, or if it is antiquated, have it upgraded to work so that we do not get complaints from the gallery.
Thank you, Councillor Frevin. Anyone else like to speak? Councillor Fancy?
I agree with what Councillor Frelick is saying. My only question is that I don't want to go into a major expense, but I think the solution is very simple. We got a building down there with the old Union Hall. It's got the speakers all in the system, all in the ceiling, and you could be able to do that. But you put a wireless mic on someone, they can adjust that to the person rather than to. And I think it's just so simple. $100-$200 fix can make that person be as loud as you want to, and that's really our biggest problem, is that person sitting down here who can't speak.
And we've looked at the issue of the speakers table.
Yeah.
As you can see, there is a microphone which has now changed the location. It's a little high. There was a need in some people's minds for two. We only have one. It's been a work in progress, but this motion recommends that we have a professional or someone with that skill set to look at the issue, and that will provide advice to council as to where we need to go. Any other councillor? I have McLeod. I have Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Well, I would just reiterate, I guess, that that's what we should be doing. And with my experience working in television technology, we always used to spend less effort on sound and more effort on the picture, and the, without the sound you have nothing, so you really have to deal with this. You should really, really resolve it.
Any other counselor? If you'd like to come forward, Jennifer? Perhaps you could give us a quick update on the issue.
Yeah, so it was mentioned the last time, and no, I didn't come in and sit in the council meeting this morning, but there's volume controls on each of these mics. The last council meeting, when the gallery spoke and said that they weren't able to hear the presenter, it was well after the fact. I heard it at that point, and the amplifier was actually turned off. So the cleaner must have hit the button, kind of thing. Once I turned it back on, then the gallery was able to hear fine. Anyway, if there was a problem this morning, what we need to do is make adjustments at the time. So we need to know in the moment that there's a problem, because as I said before, this mic can be lowered. So if you've got someone sitting here that's speaking lower, we can bring this mic down and we can change the volume of the mic. I just don't think that we need to spend that additional money at this point until we've exhausted all options of changing what we have or improving what we have at the moment. Because we did put this other mic in, and that was the purpose of it. We can adjust the volumes of all the mics. We can adjust whether those speakers are on or off, because I think there's feedback at one point and they were shut off for that. And we can adjust the level of that mic.
My request to the CAO was that we never hear another complaint from the gallery. And we've heard one today. This is an ongoing problem. You are a director of finance, and I would like to see somebody from a technical service give us the answer. And if the answer is the same, then we as a council have to decide where we move forward.
So the complaint this morning, though, nobody went and adjusted the volume or the height of this mic, right?
That's not our point. Our point is we should not get complaints from the gallery.
And I'd like to just intercede a moment, if I may. We can have a dance back and forth, but I think there's a motion on the table under discussion, so if you wouldn't mind, let's proceed with the motion that's on the table. Councilor Fancy, I believe you had your hand up. Okay, any other councilor like to speak on this issue? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed? 6 in favor, 1 opposed. Thank you very much. I would now entertain a motion to go in camera. Moved by Deputy Mayor McLeod, seconder. Councilor Kelly, are you ready for the question? All those in favor? Unanimous. I will call a 10-minute recess at this point.